The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
We're coming to you from Train ND Northwest in the Oasis Conference Center here, Conference Break Room. They don't actually, I think a conference room is the official title. And we've got Mr. Hunter Berg joining us here today. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming out. By the way, I forgot to inform you, I've got the alpaca hair going, alopecia. It looks like an alpaca licked my head and... We have crop circles. That this is what the new tectonic shift is going to look like after we're done here. So thanks to Jada Pinkett Smith for allowing me the courage to come out and take my hat off and show this alopecia in public. But So anywho, we want to talk a little bit about Williston State University Foundation, what it is, the education programs that are available to people, free education, spoiler alert, as well as the Monument program as well. But let's start with the overview and the history. Tell us a little bit about it. Thanks for coming by today.
Yeah, you bet. Well, the overview on the Williston State College Foundation, it's got a pretty long history. 1962 is when we were established, pretty much the same time the college kind of spread its wings and became our own college. We started off as a branch of the University of North Dakota and later on became our own separate entity with Williston State College. But, you know, our mission is to support the college in anything that they ask us to. We have a vision that I think ties closely with what they would like to do. And I think the one thing that we're likely to talk about today is our scholarship program. And we're like every other college in the nation. We are in a fight for students. We want every student to come to our college. We realize they all won't. But I think that we have a kind of an arrow in our quiver that a lot of colleges don't, and that's this tremendous gift of some generous donors to give enough scholarship money to offer what you mentioned, somewhat of a free education for a lot of different students. So we're in a great position.
Now, 1962, I just realized, because I, of course, when I heard the Williston State University Foundation, being on the east side, right away I go to North Dakota State. And then I took out the word alumni foundation because that's what the new foundation in North Dakota State was, correct? In the last 10 years, I think something like that.
Okay.
So I just wanted to ask you about, do you have alumni within the foundation or is that a separate foundation here?
It's within.
Okay,
yes.
So you have a one-stop shop foundation.
Correct.
So you can reach out to some of these alumnus to let them know about some of these programs. So
I don't think we're of the size where we could separate the two. The Alumni Association just falls very, very nicely underneath our Williston State College Foundation. I think we'll be that way for a long time. Maybe someday we'd be able to separate it. But for right now, we have a small staff, and I think we can get everything done within the foundation.
Well, let's talk about those programs. Let's talk about the outreach that you can do here. My understanding is alumni of the certain amount of counties can come and be a part of this program, or is it alumni from Williston College?
It kind of depends. Our scholarships, to be very, very frank, are based on where you graduate from.
And high school or college?
High school.
Okay.
Yep. So we had many, many years ago, before this Bakken boom hit, a number of donors who wanted to support the college and ended up making gifts at the time, which were significant, but they had no idea what was coming with the Bakken. So the gift of mineral acres to our foundation at the time was a very, very nice gift. But when the Bakken boom hit, it became almost an unbelievable size gift. And what happened was most of those donors said, I want to help take care of the people in our area. And most of those early scholarships were for Williams County and McKenzie County students because that's where the donors were from. And what happened when the Bakken boom hit, it just went crazy and we couldn't find enough students within Williams and McKenzie County to take advantage of this scholarship amount. And so we asked the courts, is there any way we can expand this? And so what's happened is we've expanded it from just two counties then to 10 counties, now to 53 counties total. So we cover, you know, in simplest terms, from Bismarck to Billings in all of eastern Montana and western North Dakota, and that line runs north and south along both North Dakota and Montana. So it's a remarkable story. So if you graduated from a high school within one of those 53 counties right now, you're eligible to get a free tuition and fee scholarship.
So let's say you graduated from like a New Salem.
Sure.
My guess is they're probably included in there.
They are.
Okay. Or in Beach.
Yep.
So if I'm listening and my kid graduated and he's in his 30s and wants to go back to get a CDL or wants to go get some artificial intelligence training or whatever, is it? It's just Williston State College, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so can't go use it for North Dakota State University.
Nope.
Okay, so the programs that are available at Williston State University, which, by the way, a lot of those are the jobs that are available right now.
Correct.
Out in the marketplace.
Yeah.
There's a huge. We started this push on the Crude Life back in 2013. We started doing a lot of interviews about how the four-year schools were going away.
Yeah.
Not going away. They were becoming more specialized, actually, and the kind of the 2 year or the 9 month or the 6 month training type schools were becoming the new norm, because there's so much of computers automated things and so many other things that the 4 year schools were CPA, dentist,
yep.
Pre-doctor type things. So. My understanding is somebody who's in their 30s or 40s or whatever that graduated from Beach or from Beulah or something like that can come and use this?
They should be able to, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I think a lot of people think of Williston State College, and they may not know what to think about our college. The majority of our students are transfer students, so they'll come here for a year or two, and then they'll move on to a four-year school to get that four-year degree. But we do have a lot of technical programs that are 1-2 year degrees, and they're out in the workforce. And I think you hit a nail right on the head. The education is likely going to change. It's changing at a rapid pace right now. The jobs that a lot of these kids are coming out of with 1 or 2 years of education are better than jobs if you went to a four-year college. Mm-hmm. So the way of the educational future is really unknown, but I think we see a pattern going towards those more focused degrees that you are not taking so much, I'll say, fluff or general studies. You're getting right into the heart of what you want to do and able to come out of there with some really nice jobs. And our college is a great example of the ability to do that.
I don't want to get too existential here, but one of the things that we have been discussing over the past 5 to 7 years is, until there is a better protection or better method for the thought worker, because 2/3 of our workers right now are thought workers. They're people that work in offices and work mostly with their minds instead of their hands. The renaissance of this manufacturing industry has really kind of helped out a little bit, because the thought workers are produced by four-year schools.
Yeah.
And so when you can go to this trade or this tech or this two to your school, you can get a job that pays right away, and then you can go back and get your four-year degree later on after you've made, you know, $200,000-$150,000 for a few years and that sort of thing. Williston State University, is there nursing here?
We do. We have an excellent nursing program.
My understanding is that's one of the bright spots right now in terms of looking at the future. We talked about some of those jobs that maybe you don't need a four-year degree. Mm-hmm. My understanding is is it CNA? Is that right? The program that's coming out of here? They have travel CNAs and all kinds of certified nurses?
Yeah. Well, Kenley over here at Train ND runs our CNA program.
Oh, Train ND. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to a nurse and they said, make sure you ask about the CNA program up in Williston. So... I'm not too sure of that. There we go. 53 counties, Bismarck to Billings, basically the border then down to North Dakota, or we bleed into South Dakota at all?
No, we do not.
Okay.
It's strictly North Dakota and Montana right now. So,
Baker area, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Eastern Montana, Western North Dakota. You can pretty much almost split the states in half. North Dakota is really accurate to splitting it in half, and Montana is so large that we don't probably get to the halfway point, but pretty darn close.
I know that was always the sticking point for years and years, why they did. They talked about doing an East and a West Dakota,
uh-huh.
but they always referred to the feast and famine years of the western side of the state.
Sure.
You know, it'd be too good for that, and then it'd be too bad. And so that always kept them north and south. But
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your role there. So what is it? What is it you do there?
Well, my job title is the Executive Director of the Williston State College Foundation, and I have a pretty long history, in the community, but especially with our college. I grew up right around this area, about 45 miles north of here on a farm, and came to college here for a couple of years, went away for a couple of years, and then came right back. So I'm kind of a lifer here. It's home to me. It always will be, but my goal in directing the foundation is, I guess, to work closely with the college and making sure they get done what they want to get done. and managing our assets to make them last as long as we can. I think one of the questions that always comes up is, at what point does this scholarship go away? And there will be a day when it probably will go away. It's a long ways away from right now, but we're trying to give out as much as we can right now because it's here right now. You know, a lot of what we are able to produce in scholarship dollars is dependent on the oil income. So eventually, when all of our lands are drilled up in the Bakken formation, maybe there's another formation that comes out of it, but if it doesn't, eventually the scholarship will run out of dollars, but that's okay. That means we've given it out to enough mm-hmm. students to help them get an education.
Is there a give back program within? So like some of these students that are, you know, benefiting from this program, is there a way for them to give back to it so it could be sustainable?
Sure. Well, we'd certainly always ask them to. You know, it's up to their choice if they'd like to. But yeah,
it's not as easy as just getting the money from the
No, not even close to as easy. Yeah, it's a.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. But no, we're very fortunate. Like I mentioned, those donors had no idea what was going to come about. And if they were, I know they're able to look down at us and just smile, but it would have been nice if they would have known when they made those gifts what kind of impact they've made, because, you know, we're likely going to be over $20 million in scholarships, and it's just the beginning. You know, this year alone, and going forward, we'd like to give over $3 million a year in scholarships to kids to come to our college. What baffles us is that not enough are taking advantage of it.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Is there, you know, what is the cap? Is it a first come, first serve? Is there, what's the vetting process? You know, it sounds like if you got a pulse and you can get into the school, you get some money. I mean,
so. Yeah. Well, we're pretty
strict. It's like Mankato State. Come on.
Well, we're pretty strict. The pulse is starting point number one, and then we'll think of number two when we get there. No, that's a great point. Just come here. Part of the problem is that we aren't as great as we'd like to be about spreading the word. I mean, coming here today will be a wonderful opportunity to get it to ears that have never heard this story before. But it's amazing that if you are from or graduate from anywhere from Bismarck to Billings, north and south, in all both states, my gosh, you'd think people would be like opening their ears like, I want to consider that. But times are different, you know, and I don't think our college really pops on a lot of people's radar. But if we can get them to campus, they'll see that this isn't probably what they envision for a little community college. It's beautiful. We've done a lot of upgrading, and, you know, the education they'll get here is, I think, an excellent one. But it's also the same education that you're likely going to get at any college. You take a couple years of generals, and then you decide what you're going to do. Well, why don't you come here and do it for free rather than take out a bunch of student debt?
Now, I'm not sure if you're able to answer this question or not, but we mentioned the CNA, mm-hmm. That the training that happens up here in Williston. When I look around, of course, we have a lot of oil and gas companies and signs and buildings. We talked to Sean Dorberstein yesterday, as well as Keith Olson.
Sean Winkle.
Did I say Dorberstein? Where am I at now? Okay. Talked to Sean Wenko yesterday. Who's Sean Dorberstein? Who the heck is that? What city am I in? This is why I told him yesterday I need business cards to put in front of me, so when I look down, I can just... Talked to Sean Wenko yesterday and Keith Olson with business development. Is it Keith Olson? Is that right? Okay, I got that one right. And one of the things they're talking about is diversification of the Williston economy, because it's been so reliant on oil and gas and paddlefish. And so you like that paddlefish? And so I love the paddlefish market up here. People don't know. It's like caviar eggs, baby. And so is the college kind of matching up with the diversification, meaning that, you know, as we try to get into some drones and that sort of artificial intelligence, is the college matching that with the training and the education classes? I'm not sure how to even, you know, ask you that question, but is the, you know, the drapes matching the curtains, I guess?
Yeah. I don't know that I'm the best one to try and answer that.
I figured not.
Yeah. What did Abraham Lincoln say? Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. But what the heck, caution to the wind. Oh. I know this. Kenley's group at TrainND moves at the speed that all of our public universities would like to move at. Mm-hmm. We do wish that we could adapt to the environment. It'd be or that we are in here in Williston. There's lots of things I think we could start as a college if we could start them next month and have a realistic chance of making them grow. The difficult part is making them happen that fast. There are lots of hoops to jump through, and that's where I think TrainND does a great job of adapting quickly to the mm-hmm. environment that we're in to serve those needs. We at the college have to take a little bit longer outlook on things to make sure that we're doing it very, very smartly. Industry moves so fast here that you might be ready to go, and 2 months later, it may have changed so fast that we then are behind the ball. Mm-hmm. But Kenley does a great job of staying in front of those curves. But we're trying. You know, like I mentioned, the majority of our students are likely going to be for a long time in the future the transfer student. They come here, begin their education at a very, very good price, and then move on to their four-year to receive their degrees. But we try on the two-year side to be adaptive to what the market needs are.
I know Kenley always describes him as like a little speedboat that can navigate yep. through much quicker versus the yacht or the yeah. big, you know, battleship going down that just can't move.
Yeah.
Can't move. And that's the way corporations are and small businesses yep. are too. You know, yep. a lot of the small business innovation sectors out there because the big corporations just can't do that. Yep. By the time meeting number 15 happens.
Right.
Well, we're not using the iPhone 0.2 anymore. It's the iPhone 0.6.
Yep. Yeah. So, see, Jason, I shouldn't have said anything because you said it right there way better than I ever could have said it.
Well, that's just how it works sometimes. And, well, and I do wonder that because, you know, this was a problem with a lot of universities where, I'm not kidding you, when I started my education at North Dakota State, when I was 18 years old, I took a intro to computing class. Okay. And at this time, I had already been on the internet, and I had a home computer. I by no means was any sort of a garage geek or anything like that. I just, you know, like to be online and do things because I'm a research guy, right? I'm a writer. I'm that kind of thing. And so during the class, they were teaching us Lotus. So for 2 years, I was taught Lotus. And finally, the last semester of my sophomore year, I raised my hand and I just asked, why are you teaching us Lotus when the rest of the world is going Microsoft Excel? Mm-hmm. I think I even just said Excel. And oh boy, did I get escorted out of that class so fast. Oh boy. But a year later, NDSU brought in Excel to all, yeah, they made it standard. And so I'm like, are you kidding me? They're teaching me stuff now. And by the time I graduate, it's not even there. Well, then I started looking into it even more. They got jobs that they're teaching kids right now that don't even exist. They're hoping they exist when they graduate. So that's what I'm curious where you're at, you know? Like,
well, and I'm not in that realm enough to know exactly how those forward thinking people are thinking. I just know that it's changing so
fast. And backward thinking people too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because some of them are backward. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that's interesting stuff. So let's kind of go to your, is it Monument Program?
Sure.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, we had a big project that has kind of almost come to its completion, and that is, we call it our Monuments Project.
Okay.
Yeah. So it began in 2009, actually, is when it first began. But there were some talks back then between the Friends of Fort Union and our college about they wanted to commemorate an kind of an event that happened out at Fort Buford where Sitting Bull, way back when, surrendered his rifle. And, you know, it happened just 35 miles from Williston, and we thought, well, that'd be a great place to showcase that event with a beautiful monument on our campus. And they agreed. And so the first monument of our Monuments Project was Sitting Bull. And that's at the front of Stevens Hall, which is the main entrance to the campus. And then from there, we had a friend of ours, David Ness, who's an alumni and just a tremendous local artist that kind of got interested in the Lewis and Clark expedition that came right through our back door here. And he made just a gorgeous piece, but he named it Clark's Table. And it's featured on the north side of the science wing on campus. And from there, I guess a few people got together and thought, maybe we should make this a little bit bigger and kind of talk about the history of our region. And so that culture and that history of, you know, where we came from and how our lands were developed here was developed with four separate monuments, and they were an ode to kind of some of the industries that were so prominent way back when. Everybody thinks of this area as, I think, the energy business right now, but before that, the ag business was for sure a staple in the ranching business. And then we did do an energy sector ode with a monument called the Driller, which is focusing on drilling for oil and gas. Yeah, there, Kenley just brought a little example of that one. And then the last one was a salute to our veterans. So all together, it's been a big project. It's heavily featured on the west side of our campus. And when you drive by, they catch your eye. They're, you know, upwards of 8 to 15 feet tall. But beautiful bronze.
8 to 15 feet tall?
Yeah.
How tall is the Driller?
He from the base. The base is about 3.5 feet tall, and then he himself is about 8 feet tall.
The base is 3.5 feet.
Yeah, they're on big sandstone bases.
Okay, they circular bases?
No, they're cut from sandstone, so they have all kinds of character to them. They're just jagged. So depending on the size of the monument, too, they're fit for their bases. So, yeah, they weigh about 16,000 pounds
each. Big monolith rock sticking out of the ground with a Driller, huh?
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Pretty cool. It'll catch your eye. And what we did is we put a plaque on each one of them that talks about the history, how it ties into where we're from, and also the college. Our associate professor of history, Richard Stenberg, did a great job of talking about, well, the ag sector. Well, how did it develop in these parts? And then how does our college try to work with the ag sector over the years? It's fascinating. So for people who would come on campus and look at it and not know what the heck it is, they can at least walk up to it and read about it. And I think they'll quickly understand this is what our goal is, to educate the people who are either from here or are visitors to who we are as Northwest North Dakota and Eastern Montana people in our corner of the world.
Sitting Bull.
Yep.
And
Clark's Table was the one which is kind of a remembrance of the Lewis and Clark expedition.
So is that Lewis and Clark at a table?
Actually, it's based on Clark, who did most of the mapping and surveying on the expedition. So
of Lewis and Clark?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Well, Captain William Clark. Yes,
Of Griswold Clark's. Okay.
By gosh, he would have been
Clark.
An awesome. That's a maybe. That's the
get
next
cousin
monument.
Eddie in the background. Yeah, that'd be nice. It's full. Now that's a monument. There we go. So it's Clark from Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. It's it's hard to describe. He replicated this table and all of the things that go with it, and it looks like it's the real thing made out of wood, but it's all metal, all welded and ground, and it's just amazing. Three straight winters it took him to make this, but
no kidding.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's fascinating.
And then we've got the Driller.
The Driller is the ode to the oil sector, and then we call it the Pioneers, but it's a homesteading couple with a big plow when they first.
And that would be the ag one.
Yep.
Okay, that was the one I missed.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the ranching sector, and that one is a cowboy on a horse, and then the last one is the salute to the veterans, and that's a World War II airman, and they each stand at a different place on campus. And
that's six.
Yep.
Did I count,
six total.
Did I count six right in my head?
Okay. Six total.
And are there going to be more?
Well. It kind of depends.
Okay.
This project is, we think, mostly complete at six because the idea is complete. But ultimately, I think our art is something that's great for our college. It's great for our community. And we want to be one of the leaders in the art and culture and especially the education piece of our community. So, yeah, I think more will come. What they will be, we have no idea. But, yeah, I do think more will come.
Well, I mean, you know, there was a lot of things. I mean, Cheers was only supposed to be one series, so you can have a second series, no problem. You know?
I miss Cheers. Oh,
my gosh. Isn't that a great show?
My favorite of all time.
Mine, too. Writing was so well done, and I used to watch the finale annually just to remember the days and everything. I did want to add, I mean, with this type of thing, this is really an outdoor museum.
It is
what it is.
It is. Yeah, and the nice thing about this is you really could almost 24/7 walk around and exhibit or see these for yourself. The one exception is Clark's Table. Clark's Table is actually located inside of a gazebo, and we do keep that one locked up. So their hours are 8 to 5 on Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you could walk up to these things in the middle of the night and read about our culture and our history and where we came from and why it's important to us to kind of celebrate what we did.
You can during the day too, right?
You can.
Yeah.
But it's not as fun. Nothing's
well,
as fun
I don't
right
know. A lot of kids walking around school, you know, a lot of selfies being done. I imagine this has got social media written all over it.
Yeah, I think so.
People taking pictures of it and that sort of thing. I mean, if a giant chicken on the side of the road does this, would too.
Yeah.
right?
Oh yeah,
the prairie chicken.
You must have been down on the what is the highway? What do they call it? The Enchanted Highway?
Is Rothsay, Minnesota has the prairie chicken, and okay. New Salem has the giant cow.
Sure.
And I just happened to pull the prairie chicken out of my head. Frazee had a giant turkey, but it burned down.
Okay.
There's one of the best photos you'll ever see is a 40-foot turkey engulfed in flames.
Well, very nice. Well, North Dakota's covered with those. You look at the giant turtle up in Botno and yep. the sandhill crane down in Steele. I mean, they have them all over. So
I think that is one of the more undertold stories that gets overdone, because I've never seen a really good either documentary or, you know, Guy Fieri, let's drive around and go sample turtle soup, that type of thing. I've never seen it really well done about all these different New Salem cows and Wahpeton catfish and all these different things. I mean, what's the story behind it? How did these come about?
Yeah. Well, you're talking yourself right into another career.
I know. I guess so. I might have something to do, I guess, but... Well, let's kind of wrap up a little bit. What do you sure. want people to walk away from? Number one, obviously, that 53 counties have access to a free education at Williston State University if they graduated from one of those 53 counties. That's obviously number one.
Yep.
The Monuments Project is number two. Anything else that you know you really want people to kind of walk away from? Remembering?
Well, what I really wish is that more people knew how badly we want them to be a student of ours. When we're recruiting against other colleges, we try to, I guess, spread that word, but we're also willing to offer a good way for you to come here and take all the classes that you will need, for the most part, regardless of what you want to do in your working career, and we'll also pay for it. And how we get that word spread out there, I don't know how we do it. I hope that it just keeps going and going and going, but if people are wondering, could I get that scholarship? Could my son? Could my granddaughter get that scholarship? Give us a call. We just want to visit with you and tell you what we can do to help whoever you are out there get an education or get the start of an education at our college. We want you here. Our community is so great to our college. I wish we could feature all of the people that came here thinking they'd just stop in for a year or two and ultimately have went on and then came right back because of the people. And that's what this community thrives, because of the people in it. And that's what I want people to just take away from this, is that college up in Williston wants us to be a student there, and we're willing to basically pay you to come be a student. So anything we can do that, I think, is our number one mission. We want to grow, and we want to... To give away money feels pretty good, and we're trying to give away money right now to help them get their education. So please give us a call and give us a chance.
Hunter Berg, Williston State College Foundation. Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about the NDSU graduation, too. I'm proud UND guy. So.
Well, I lost a bet.
Interested in becoming a sponsor? Email studio@thecrudelife.com.